After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. King David begins Psalm 15 with the questions, "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill?" He gives the answers to these questions in the rest of the psalm. "He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Who shall dwell in the tent of the Lord? Only those who are blameless, completely and absolutely blameless, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Who shall dwell in the tent of the Lord?" By the standard that King David provides, the Lord's tent won't be a crowded place, will it? Consider the author of this psalm. David certainly should have no place. He slept with his neighbor's wife, and then, so that his sin would not be discovered, arranged for her husband Uriah to be killed. He did evil to his neighbor. There'd be no place for St. Paul either. Far from honoring those who fear the Lord, when Stephen was being martyred, St. Paul was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. Take Abraham or Moses, St. Peter, whomever you pick, walking blamelessly, doing what is right and speaking truth in his heart, just don't apply to them either. Indeed, gathering quotations from another psalm, St. Paul excludes everyone from consideration. "None is righteous, no, not one," he quotes. "All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Anyone who claims to be exempt from this universal judgment deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. That means that you fall under this condemnation. And so do I. And so did all our loved ones who went before us. And so will all our descendants who come after us. So where does this leave us as we celebrate the Feast of All Saints today? Our text speaks to the question of people dwelling in the Lord's tent, though that image is obscured in the translation we use. Verse 15 says that innumerable multitude clothed in white robes are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will, I read, shelter them with his presence. What John heard literally is, he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. The innumerable multitude, John sees, is dwelling in the tent of the Lord. But that shouldn't be, because none of those people were perfect. The scriptures themselves testify to that. None of those people were blameless. None of those people did always and only what is right. None of those people unfailingly spoke truth in his heart. By God's standards, they were sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. They embraced and practiced falsehood. How then do they end up with the Lord spreading his tent over them? The answer is in the elder's response to John. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. That is, out of all the hardships and struggles and trials that are part of human life in this world ever since Adam and Eve first sinned. All those whom John sees have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It is, as St. John wrote elsewhere, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. This innumerable multitude, dressed in white robes, sheltered under the tent of the Lord, isn't composed of people who lived perfect lives, who never looked with lust at another, or had hateful thoughts, or loved themselves more than God. Every single one of them failed in these ways and many, many more. Not a single one of them had earned a place in the Lord's tent by what he or she had done. Every single one has a place only because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleansed them from their sin. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, the elder explains. It is the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that's responsible for them being in the Lord's presence, in sheltering under his tent. That's why John heard this great multitude cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation isn't something which any of them could claim to have credit for. It is the gift of God, something Jesus earned at the cost of his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death, an incalculable treasure he bestows freely and graciously on sinners who have deserved nothing but punishment now and forever. The gift of this precious treasure moves the angels to rejoice in praising God, ascribing to him all blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might forever and ever. John hears of the multitude having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We might well wonder when and how this happens. Where do we wash our robes in the Lamb's powerful cleansing blood? The answer is actually very down to earth. It happened when you were baptized. When through plain water combined with God's word, he saved you according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you might become an heir according to the hope of eternal life. It happens too when, in contrition and repentance, you return to your baptism and receive absolution here in church or individually in private. Jesus commissioned and sent out his apostles saying, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And so when a minister of Christ proclaims, I forgive you all your sins, you are cleansed and redeemed. No debt left to pay. It happens also at the altar, where Jesus himself welcomes you to his table and unites himself with you by giving you his very body to eat and his blood which he shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins to drink. In your eating and drinking, Jesus comes to you and blesses you with himself, bestowing on you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Again and again, as often as you come and receive the Holy Supper, he gives you this gift of salvation. Each time you come to the table, he forgives you your sins and unites you to himself and his body, the church. Thus, through holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion, you are washed, purified in Jesus' cleansing blood, made holy and righteous, given the gift of salvation. Therefore, throughout all eternity, you, along with all the others Christ has redeemed, will be before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over you. You will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike you, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd, and he will guide you to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. By grace, through faith, for Jesus' sake, you have been redeemed by the Lord, and all of this promised will be yours forever. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.